Hebrews chapter 4 tonight in your Bible, Hebrews 4, and just a standalone lesson tonight, and I think you'll understand the why I'm doing this lesson, and we're just, of course, getting ready now for the conference beginning next Monday night. Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. Hey, make as many of those messages as you can. I know work schedules prohibit you from being at some of those, but if you're working at night, come on out for the morning services. If you're working, of course, during the day, come on out for the evening services. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to sit under the messages that these men will bring next week for us, all right? And I warn you, just warn you again, don't get the been there, done that spirit. It might be a message that you hear this year that God uses to help you with something specific in your life. Remember, the Bible is a powerful book, all right? So Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. And this is why somebody would fall short of it, okay? But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to teach for a little bit tonight, standalone lesson on unprofitable preaching. Unprofitable preaching. Notice what he said here. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. So I want to speak just for a little bit on unprofitable preaching. Father, help us tonight. Bless the teaching from your word. And give us a hunger and an appetite for your book next week as the preachers come. Pray that you give them safety. I pray, God, you'd fill every one of them with the Holy Spirit. Put the lesson, the message that you need us to hear on their heart. And God, may it be a Holy Spirit-filled meeting. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Some time ago, several years ago now, I taught a lesson on measuring the profit of preaching. And it was based on the fact that preaching sustains us spiritually, much like eating does us physically. If I asked you what you had to eat a week ago Monday night, you may or may not remember, but it wasn't a waste of time when you ate. What you ate, remembering it or not, sustains you for a period of time. It brought nourishment to you until the next time you ate, although you may not remember what you ate. And truth of the matter, I'm not talking about this past Monday. I'm talking about a week ago Monday. That's 9 days. Does anybody remember what you had to eat 9 nights ago? I don't remember what we had. A teenager probably had pizza. I mean, that's a safe guess, okay? But I don't know. But anyway, I mean, really, nobody can even, you'd have to really think, folks, about, you say, well, okay, so let me ask you a question. So that meal did you absolutely no good because you don't remember what you had to eat. That's foolish, isn't it? Huh? Okay, that meal sustained you, okay? So in the same way, what you heard preached, remember it or not, sustains you spiritually to a degree. You probably can't remember what I preached on a couple Sunday nights ago, okay? But don't feel bad. I don't know that I remember either without looking it up, all right? So I probably have to go to the archives and look it up myself to remember what I preached on a couple Sunday nights ago. But that's how it is, all right? Now, the Word of God has value in and of itself, and when you hear it preached or taught, to some degree, it helps you. Okay, for the moment, and maybe a little longer, it provides nourishment spiritually. So just like from meal to meal, you get sustenance and nourishment from physical food, from service to service, message to message, you get spiritual nourishment and sustenance to keep you going. If you decide to forego eating because you're upset that you don't remember what you ate 2 weeks ago, it's going to be physically troubling after a while, okay? Well, I'm just not going to eat because I never can remember what I eat anyway. And people who lay out of church because they don't think the preaching is doing them any good, they eventually have spiritual trouble, folks. There's just no doubt about it. Now, in the past, I've read a couple of articles on how to get the most out of your food. There are ways to eat food so as to get the most out of it nutritionally, right? For instance, you have to start with good food. That helps. You start with good food, something more than, Burger King and McDonald's, all right? Then, you chew your food well. You don't inhale it like all of us men did when we were teenagers, and like your teenagers are doing right now, you know, without even chewing it. It just goes down, right? And they got hollow legs. It takes them forever to get full. So there's a way to, you know, you can eat just to satisfy hunger, or you can eat to gain nutrition and satisfy your hunger at the same time, right? That's obvious. All right, now, so question, is the same true about preaching? Are there advantages that can be embraced and used to get the most out of the preaching of God's word? If we're going to take the time to be in a preaching service and listen to the message, shouldn't we desire to get out of it as much as possible? That would be sensible. Or what are we doing here, okay? You know, I'm glad that what I hear preached sustains me. I'm glad if it sustains me till the next time I get to a message. But it would be wise to get as much benefit from the message as I can possibly get, and really to gain ground, not just maintain. All right? I can do that, all right? So for sake of time, I'm not going to get deep into the context of Hebrews chapter 4. The rest that's mentioned here in verse 1 and so forth is about salvation. The gospel was preached. Some profited. Some did not. For some, the gospel being preached was profitable. For others, the gospel being preached was unprofitable. Now, that's a shame, all right, especially when it comes to salvation. Now, I want to point out what is staring at us here, whether it applies to salvation or any other biblical topic. The writer said the gospel was preached unto us, okay, so he's included into that category, as well as unto them, okay? But the word preached did not profit them. All right, that's the group he's talking about in verse number 1. Didn't profit them. So the potential profit from the preaching was never realized. Listen, there was nothing wrong with the preaching. The problem was with them. That's where the problem was. Because the us's got it. And the us's profited from it. Same message, same preaching, but the them's didn't. Okay, so how do we realize the profit of preaching? If it's just a regular Sunday morning, Sunday evening, even a Wednesday night service like this, or a special meeting like we got coming up next week. Give you three words and biblically give you some scripture. Let's turn tonight and then we'll be done. First of all, how do we realize the profit of preaching so it's profitable to us? First word I want to give you is anticipation. Anticipation. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn back, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, okay? When you get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, find verse number 13. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's reliving when he came there the first time on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 17. He's reliving that visit to the church, all right, when the church was started. And he said this in verse number 13 of chapter 2, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Okay, so he's saying to this crowd here at Thessalonica, he said, you know what? You had the right anticipation. You came to the church services. You didn't come with the anticipation of hearing from a man. You came with the anticipation of hearing from God. You knew that what was going to be preached, if it was from the scripture, was not just the word of men. It was God's holy word. It had the potential to change your life. There was an anticipation there. Now, you've heard me say that the prophet realized from a sermon, from hearing a sermon, depends more on the listener than the speaker. Now, the speaker has responsibility. He has to be right with God. He has to keep his heart right, okay? You know, position as a pastor, you got to keep your heart right from all the undercurrent of issues or problems that might be going on in the church. You got to keep your heart right, all right? So there's responsibility on the preacher. There's responsibility to find out the mind of God for the message itself. Maybe I've mentioned it to you. The most difficult part of preaching is not getting up here doing what I'm doing right now. This is just a little part of it. It's the tip of the iceberg. It's what's unseen. And part of that is finding the mind of God. What direction? What text? What does our church need? You know, what's my responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God? So it's finding that direction, whether it's here in our services or whether I go somewhere. You ask my wife. I labor over what to preach if I'm invited to a church. You know, there are some standard sermons. If I'm going to a church for the first time, there's some standard sermons that I have used that God seems to bless, that God seems to use in local churches, and I usually rely on those messages. But when I'm going back to a church 3 and 4 times, and I preach to those people, man, you know, not as much as I preach to you, but I'm laboring to find the mind of God. What does this church need? I'm not the pastor. And, you know, it happens to me. I do it the same to them. Hey, is there anything that you want me to touch on while I'm there? And 100% of the time, maybe once, a pastor has said, yeah, if you could handle this or deal with this, I'd appreciate it. Maybe once. And when they do that, when they ask, that's what I do. I'm going to do what the pastor asks. But most, 99.9% of the time, it's whatever God puts on your heart. Great. Okay, it would just be much easier if you just tell me do this, okay? And then if it flops, I can blame him, right? So, you know, I don't have to worry. So it's finding that direction. Where am I going, okay? That's always it. That's responsibility for the preacher. There is response. But, let's look. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Go to your Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 3. And I've used these men as illustrations before. Ezekiel was one of the most obedient, faithful prophets in the Old Testament. And some of the things that God asked him to do were just like, you got to be kidding. And I'm not going to rehearse all those tonight. I've gone through them before. But I want you to listen. I want you to read it with your own eyes with me tonight. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Moreover, he, that's God, said unto me, son of man, that's Ezekiel, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. He said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Whose words were they, folks? God's words. What's Ezekiel? He's just a mouthpiece. He's just a mouthpiece. Okay, look at 5. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. I'm not sending you to strangers. I'm sending you to your own people. Verse 6, not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Isn't that a shame? If I'd have sent you to strangers, and I will tell you this, I will tell you this, any pastor that travels and preaches struggles with going somewhere and people responding and going back home and almost the same topic, the same message, the people don't respond. We don't get it sometimes. I think it's familiarity of voice. That's what I think. Just a familiar voice. It gets easy to tone it out. But this is what you got to anticipate, folks. These aren't my words. If I'm giving you scripture, they're God's words, okay? I'm not saying I'm inspired of God. I'm saying the scripture's inspired, okay? Now let's go here. Look at 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. Now, did you let that run through your mind? When they didn't listen to Ezekiel, who were they not listening to? For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces. It's going to be a strong face match. And their forehead strong against, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. In other words, you ain't backing down. You ain't backing down, Ezekiel. I'm going to give you the courage just to preach. If they don't like it, they don't respond, your forehead's going to be as hard as theirs. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. That happens once in a while, okay? Though thou be a rebellious house. Now, folks, you won't find a better prophet than Ezekiel, a more obedient prophet than Ezekiel. What was the results of his preaching? God's words. Okay. Now, let's go find the book of Jonah, okay? Let's turn to our right, and I wish I could tell you what book Jonah is after, but I got to find it myself. It's after Obadiah, okay? So Jonah chapter 3, And Jonah, let's go to chapter 1 to start with tonight. Jonah chapter 1. And look at this, look at these. And you know the story of Jonah? You know the story. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Did the word of the Lord come to Ezekiel? Yes. Did he preach it like God said? Yeah, well, one person. Did he preach it like God said? Thank you. Okay. Y'all, no, never. I'm not going to go there. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and then he went down, and you know the rest of the story, right? Running from God. Obedient prophet? No. Chapter 3, you know what happens. God puts him in the belly of the whale pukes him out. And verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach unto thee the preaching that I bid thee. So he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was, okay. And he began, yet 40 days, verse 4, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Got 40 days, you're going to be overthrown as a city. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth. Wait a minute. This is Jonah. This is a disobedient. And by the way, he doesn't even love the people he's preaching to. Hates their guts. And you say, that doesn't seem fair. Ezekiel's an obedient prophet. Jonah's a disobedient prophet. Israel was God's chosen. The Ninevites were enemies of God's chosen. But you understand, folks, the hearts of the Ninevites were more tender than the hearts of the Israelites. And good things happened. Now, both heard the word of the Lord preached, but with completely different degrees of profit. It didn't profit the Israelites any. It profited the Ninevites greatly. Now, you and I can prepare our hearts for the preaching of God's word. We can anticipate the preaching of God's word. We should make sure that we are, hey, you don't come to church for a message with an open mind. You come with an open heart. Open heart. We should not have an open, roomy mind, meaning that we just believe everything we hear without checking it out by the word of God. But we can anticipate that God will speak to us. And we need a sound mind, which is a disciplined mind, listening with an open heart in case the Holy Spirit arouses our attention to a need for whatever truth it is that's being preached. And we'll never gain the full potential, the full benefit of preaching if we come with a prejudiced mind and heart. You know what prejudiced means? Prepossessed by unexamined opinions. Prepossessed by unexamined. In other words, my mind and heart were already set in stone by unproven opinions. And I am unable to be persuaded by the truth of God's word. I'm not even anticipating that God will speak to me. That's a shame. That's not good. We miss truth by arriving at preaching services with our minds made up because we don't like the style of the preacher who is preaching. Folks, style doesn't have to be enjoyable for the word of God to profit us. The power's not in the style. The power's in the word. I don't like his style. What? Okay. Everybody has their favorite style. But just because I got one man preaching that, you know, I don't like his particular style, but I really like this other guy's style, and people leave because they don't like a certain guy's style, but the power's not in the style. The power's in God's book. I can sit through a style that I don't particularly care for as long as it's Bible. And I've been helped by some of that. Does that make sense to y'all? Yeah. So it doesn't matter what is said. Our hearts are already, maybe we don't like the topic being preached. Well, if he's going to preach on soul winning, I know what I believe, and I'm not even going to give it an ear. We're predisposed. We're prejudiced. It's difficult for a closed heart to be moved. Difficult. So make sure your mind is disciplined to check out what's preached by the word of God, not by the blogger on the internet. but by the word of God. Make sure your heart is tender, and the combination of a disciplined mind and a tender heart will make room for the Holy Spirit to move on you, and you can benefit, you can profit from preaching. Anticipation is important in order to profit from preaching. And you know, I don't mind if people have anticipation about a ball game or going to a certain place. That's part of life. That's fine. I just don't understand why God's people will get anticipatory. Is that a word? I don't think so. I think I just made that up. Scratch that one out, okay? I don't know why God's people will anticipate all the things of the world and then, you know, come to church bored. Folks, we can be better than that. We can be better than that. Heaven help us. Anticipation. That's the longest one. Number two is attention. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, okay? Acts chapter 20. I had fun in Bible class yesterday. Well, Monday, okay? I do remember what I did in Bible on Monday. Acts chapter 20. I talked about Eutychus because Brother Ballard preached on Eutychus down in Texas. And it was of course, only Brother Ballard, you know. He brought a great message on Eutychus there and sitting in the window, right? Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. You know what that means, folks? They went to church, right? Paul preached unto them. You know what goes on at church? Preaching goes on at church, all right? So they went to church and Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow. You're going to leave tomorrow. You're going to leave on Monday. And he continued his speech until midnight. Paul must have had a lot to say. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being falling into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, I could go somewhere right now, but I won't. As Paul was long preaching, the people at Faith Baptist fell asleep. No, I'm just kidding. As Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Taken up dead. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know if the boy died or not. Paul went down there and embraced him, and he said, don't worry. He said, life is in him. So maybe Paul resurrected him. I don't know for sure. I know this. I know he fell. And it's not the fall. It's that sudden stop that is bad when you fall, okay? And so here he is. He's sitting in the window. Why? Why is he sitting in the window? We don't know. Was the building crowded? Was it hot? But he fell asleep and he fell out of the window. Now here, sitting in the window allowed him to easily be distracted from what was going on in the service. He was in the church, but just barely. He could see and hear what was going on both inside the church and outside. The dogs that are barking, the kids that are playing, the ambulances that are, well, we didn't have ambulances, but you know, and the other stuff that's going on in that day. He's just like this, you know. You never learn anything in church like this. No, you never learn anything in church like this. Look, in order to profit from preaching, you got to pay attention. Got to. You know what would be good? Just get good rest prior to service. Go to bed on Saturday night. Why people stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, I have no idea. Use a pen to underline in verses or take a few notes. You have to be careful. You can't write a book. You'll miss what's being said. Don't sit where it's easy to be distracted. Leave your cares outside. How many times have we said that, folks? Find a place somewhere. You know, just like you sit in the same pew, same spot, you probably have the same place to park. That's Baptist people, isn't it? Probably park in the same spot. We can tell whose oil is leaking and whose is not, okay? You got a place somewhere between where you park and that church door or this church door or that church door. You need to leave your cares right there. And then on the way out, pick them back up. You're distracted by something that's heavy. And there's something in the message that God put in the message to help you with something that's heavy, but you brought it in with you, and you're distracted by what's heavy, and you miss what God had planned to help you with. Leave it outside. hey, it's probably not going to change before you get out of church. Just leave it out there. Learn to pay attention to what's being preached. You know, if Eutychus was sleepy, he could have stood up. Paid attention. Stand up. That's better than falling asleep, hitting the ground from the third floor. That's long. What is that? Third floor, 30 feet? That's a long fall. It's like falling off a telephone pole. I said, was it brother, the guy that's supposed to help us with our radio? This is how it's been with the radio. It's just one problem after the other. And he's supposed to help, be in the office this week to call. Yeah, but he was putting a tower up and he fell. 8 broken ribs, broken clavicle, broken whatever else, a punctured lung. So they said, probably next week. I told Andrew, it ain't going to be next week. That guy's not going to. So, you know, when you fall 30 feet, that's tough, folks, okay? And I cannot leave this point without giving cell phones a good kick in the back end. Why, oh, why do we need to be interrupted by a call or a text or an email during the preaching service? And don't. I stand up here. I look out. I see people doing this. It don't take that long to tell what time it is. See, the short hand is the hour. The long hand is the minutes. The one that moves is the second. So it's no. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're reading the text. Notification for a text, notification for emails, notification for calls, notification for this app, notification for this app. You're notified out. So now it's not, well, I don't bring my cell phone. I know you. It's on your wrist. Somehow, I, when we get to heaven someday, maybe it'll all be explained to us for almost 2,000 years of history. Since Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, people went to preaching services without the ability or the need to be interrupted by a vibration on a device or to do their nails or to clip their fingernails. It all goes on. You can't do that and listen. You can't click, 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 click. Now we go into a panic if we're without the ability to be contacted. Well, I might miss something important. Exactly my point. Just coming at it from opposite sides. You might miss something important from God while you're reading that someone is eating a bread bowl of broccoli cheese soup at Panera Bread. Now that's important. We're at Monocles. Come as soon as you can. That's pathetic. That is pathetic Christianity. I'm sorry. That's pathetic. And probably the crowd that needs it the most is not here tonight. But that's pathetic. That's anticipating, all right. Yeah, I want God to speak to me, but I got my phone, I got my wrist, I got my ding, 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 hang on, God. Yeah, D.L. Moody might not have had indoor plumbing, but he didn't have to bother with that. I'd rather have an outhouse to deal with all the distractions available to God's people today. Amen. Anticipation, attention. I'm talking about profiting. Okay, you know. And with these people in Hebrews, it was salvation. And then application. There's the third one. I'm done. Let's go back to the text, back to Hebrews chapter 4, back to verse number 2. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, us and them, us and them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor not being mixed with faith in them that heard. Folks, there comes a time when even if we anticipate and pay attention, we could still miss the full benefit of preaching. That happens when we refuse to apply it to our lives. You know, it goes without saying that I believe in invitations. I believe in responding to them as led by the Holy Spirit of God. People say altar calls are a vanishing breed. Yeah, so are good churches. A good church still has an altar call. Is there a relationship there, folks? I've said it before. I don't know what this is. 100, I believe this is 100% worsted wool, but there are some suits that are, that it doesn't matter, that are, you know, 80% worsted wool, 20% polyester, 10% rayon, or 10%, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I don't like the polyester in this suit, so let's pull it out. You got Jeannie DeVries. Jeannie, pull out all the polyester. If she starts pulling out the polyester, it's going to tear up the integrity of this suit coat. It's part of the fabric that makes it up. An invitation is part of the fabric of a good Bible-preaching Baptist church. Period. There are ingredients that make up the recipe of a good cheesecake or a good pecan pie. And you change or omit the ingredients, just one or two, and you don't arrive at the same product. There are ingredients that make up the recipe of a good church. You change or omit the ingredients, and you don't arrive at the same product. Invitations are part of the recipe of good churches that I've been a part of and that I visit. From all that being said, you can visit the altar at invitation time, but leaving what you pray about down here will not allow you to gain the full benefit of what was preached. Got to take it home and apply it. Don't answer out loud. Don't answer out loud because I don't want to be discouraged. But I just wonder how many husbands and wives have prayed together since Sunday night. Kind of what I preached on. And I think it's a helpful thing. I think it's biblical and good. And people, you can come down. If God moves your heart, you need to respond. But you know what, folks? You can't leave it here. You have to go home and find some time to pray together. It just, you got to apply it. Not just that. All truth has to be applied to our lives. Okay? So, us and them. Us and them. I'm thinking about changing the title to Us and Them and using this as a message if I go into a church where I'm up first. I have a time slot that I need to get up, get out of the way, let the next guy have the time and preach this. Because I tell you what, it's sad that there's us and them. But it's in every church. Us prophets and them don't. That's bad English. But that's what it said. And you know what? It's not the preaching. It's them. It's them. Anticipation. Attention. And application. And I can profit. I can be in the us crowd. Profiting from preaching. We're going to listen to several messages. You may not be able to make 12 messages. Some of you can, some of you can't. I get that. But make as many as you can. And, you know, forget the conference for a minute. Just on Sundays, just come, anticipate, pay attention, and apply. And enjoy the profit of Bible preaching. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and stand, and I'll just give you a couple of that. Father, I pray that you'll use this message just to prepare our hearts. Lord, for what we're about to enjoy as a church, we don't have this, we got this opportunity. Someday it might not be here, it might be taken from us somewhere else. And although it's a lot of work and expense, and yeah, we got to make time to be at the church. It's a blessing. We'll miss it if we ever don't have it. And a good message. I remember distinctly some of the ones who've been preached here over the years. Powerful things. Father, I want to be in that us crowd. I don't want to be in the them crowd. I don't want to be in the crowd that never profits from preaching. So I pray that you'd help us. These simple thoughts on anticipation and attention and application, and help us to profit from the word preached. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and just a brief invitation. Okay. Anticipation, attention,